Okay, should we start?
Do you start it the same as every other episode?
I don't know. I'm going to start it, hidely hodily neighbor.
I like that.
You know what I've noticed? Every single episode that I've done in the last, I don't know, month, I start out with, this episode deserves a special intro because it is just so different and I want to die. I will never say that again.
Why? I like those.
Well, right now I want to say that.
Well, I guess it kind of takes away the specialness.
Yeah, if every single episode is different and special, none of them are different and special.
It's true.
But right now, I really, my knee-jerk reaction was to say, well, guys, this is a different little thing we've got going on, Rory and I.
It is a different thing, but it's just like, we're still in our first year. We're like figuring out what the format's going to be, and we're going to try this one.
So what is this one? Should we talk about it?
Yeah. Well, you talk about it. You have...
Okay, so this is my feelings with the podcast. Let's talk about the podcast. So behind the scenes, what the listeners don't know is that I literally just was knee deep into a bag of Ruffles and Rory was like, stop chewing. That is the worst noise in the world.
I had headphones on and it was being amplified tenfold straight into my ears.
I discovered the most tasty treat. It's Ruffles with cream cheese with jalapeno cheddar sprinkle.
It was a lot. It was good, but it took me by surprise.
I'm emotionally eating. And it's because of this. It's because I think we're going to switch up the podcast format for a lot of reasons. One of them is I remember getting advice early in the podcast days being like, it's going to get weird. Time gets weird. And I was like, okay, whatever. I did like third by like 10, 15. I was like, what do they mean? Time gets weird. Like what's present time is present time. You do the podcast that comes out. Like there is this weird delay. I hit like the... What number are we at?
Like for this episode?
I don't even know what this episode is, but we have...
There's 52 weeks in a year and we're almost at a full year.
We're almost
year.
At that.
Yeah.
But then we have a million unplayed ones.
We're sitting on... We banked. We have a lot.
So I have lost track of reality. Time is not a thing for me anymore. I don't know what's past, present, future. I jumbled things up. Like all of a sudden, I think it was at around the 40 mark.
Yeah.
That I'm like, whoa, what is coming? What's going? What has been said? I'm losing track of time. So I'm like, let's just get on here once a week and talk about our presentness. What's going on in our present life?
Yeah.
So what's going on in your present life, Rory?
I have a mustache now.
Porn stash. 70s porn stash.
It's Movember. That's been my excuse. It's really not why I did this, though.
Oh, didn't even think about that.
I didn't either, but I was like, shit, excuses. Why do I have a mustache? I have a mustache right now. That's new. I found a place that I'm going to move to.
You've been living at our house for the last few weeks in between, and it's been quite honestly just delightful.
I've loved every second. I'm not even kind of kidding.
It's been really fun. No, like we got a puppy. You're a really good puppy dad. You play with the kids.
Thank you.
He cleans up. He does dishes.
I know.
You also, because you're here, we've just wrangled you now into our life. You are literally now a fundamental part of our other businesses. Like now you are just all, it's in all levels. You are like central to how we live our life now.
It's been a whirlwind.
So now you're working for Lonely Ghost.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
The shop's about to open.
Holy crap, you guys. The shop has been taking over our lives.
Yeah, this has been put on the back burner, and I apologize publicly a little. It hasn't been put on the back burner.
The podcast?
But all the focus has gone to this mammoth task that we have an impossible window of time to finish.
But we have to open doors for the Lonely Ghost shop. If you guys don't know, is it in Orem? Is it considered Orem, Utah?
I think it's Provo.
Is it Provo or
this isn't even an ad spot for the shop, but this is just such a current thing right now.
The shop is taking over our lives. It's opening December 1st, and there's secrets and fun little. There's so many like pieces to this. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's really exciting though.
Since my episode aired of my journey, guess what? It's not still there. It's faded a little bit.
Yeah.
Like the glow, you were right. It's about 2 weeks of just like, wow.
There's an after effect.
And then there's an after effect where I'm kind of like, I'm trying to keep that in my everyday normal life. And it's very hard. shitty, kind of. Like,
I know.
Like, it's not, I don't, once you have that fun feeling and like all that, like, wow, the world's my oyster. What can I make of it? And then it kind of like, it does subside. You got to keep current. You got to journal these things. You got to keep meditating, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Because every time I do that stuff, it immediately comes back. And I'm like, oh, yes.
Well, it's like a centered feeling.
Yes.
Where you're not, it's not like a high. It's just like, yeah. Oh, okay, I'm at peace.
Yes, exactly. But like that's what I've been searching for. And so I found it. Like I can find it again. Mm-hmm. We did this salt place. Mm-hmm. What was that place called?
Purify Wellness.
And I felt like I was back at where we were. Like,
and you, what did you do? You meditated in the room? You just closed your eyes?
I just closed my eyes and got deep.
You guys,
and it
this
was
is so
lovely.
Weird that my brother is saying this stuff when this is all I've ever hoped, wished, and dreamed for.
It's as weird for you as it is for me. It's crazy. but I want it. I want to get back there so bad, like in that headspace. And now I am just going to go back the end of this week.
Bronson and Rory are going back to the secret location.
Back to secret town. And I think I'm going to try another thing that I've never done before, never wanted to do at all. What's it called?
Kana,
which is like,
it's a heart opener. It's grounding and heart. I don't know. I've never experienced it, but we trust this place with our souls. So they're like, this is great. Maybe try it out. Maybe this is another layer of healing or shedding, whatever. What we don't know, but you're going to go back and try it out.
And I think we're just going to take listeners along on my, whatever you call it. I want to say my journey, but I'm not there. Baby steps for
this
me.
This is your journey.
I haven't gotten the woo-woo lingo down, but it is, I guess, my journey.
You're in the preschool level of journeying, finding who you are in this big, weird world.
I love it, though.
I know, like, it is fun.
So yeah, why not just take people along for the ride? So you get the before and afters of each time I'm trying some.
Well, let's talk a little bit about where you are right now. So the next week when we give our little intro that we're doing now, that's new, little life update.
This is probably just going to be a part of the show now.
I'm about that. Yeah. I think it might ground me, make me feel more present.
Just, yeah. I mean, what's going on in your life? Well, finish what you were going to say.
Well, where are you at? So you had this big high 3 weeks ago where you've been going through a lot of life changes,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted clarity. You got clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in the midst of really like digging through whatever this is, life. And there's bumps, but you're not bummed. It's not like it was high and now it's low. It's just like, okay, this is real life.
Yes, exactly. It's just the shine goes away after so long because I didn't keep up with doing meditation every day or being guided through breath work,
or journaling.
But I feel better every time I do that stuff. So I guess it is kind of on me to just continue with that.
Yeah.
But I like want more of the whole thing. Like I want more.
But are you excited about life?
Oh my God, yes.
So before your experience, you were kind of like doomsday. Like what the?
Yes.
And now you have this luster, the shiny, like, ooh, life could be fun and exciting.
Yeah.
But now you want more even.
I don't want more like altering substances. I want to just keep diving into this world because every time I kind of peel back another layer of like anything that you guys are showing me or telling me about, it's like, oh yeah, that feels right. Like question answered. Like, I don't know. This
I don't know
wild.
Either. I don't have words for it ever. That's why I feel like I sound
it's like not even it. Like shit that's not just readily available to you either. Like I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just loving this stuff and like listening to my intuitions and everything. I've kind of just been like, okay, I'm going to go with this flow and not overanalyze and not think. Holy shit, so many good things are happening.
You guys, if you knew him before, you should go. I feel like it's episode, what, 8 when I tried to make you live a week like me?
Yeah.
You begrudgingly were like, oh, I'm going to juice the celery. I'm going to jump on the trampoline. But even you felt better, but you did not continue any of it.
No.
Like the week was over and you were like, done. I'm not doing that shit.
Yep.
So now you it's like your own personal desire to kind of do this, which is
I've done
wild.
Yoga every day.
Yoga with Adrian on YouTube.
Yeah. Yoga with Adrian's sick.
Shout out to Jack and Indy. They hooked it up with that. They're was like, that? Just do yoga with Adrian.
I didn't even know.
They do
that was
day.
Jack and Indy?
Yeah.
Thanks, you two. Yeah. Yeah, Adrian's my girl and her little dog. Yep. He's the best. I forgot his name. Benji.
Oh, we got a dog.
Oh, that you have a dog too.
Yeah, we got a dog. Its name is Bash. It is a Shorkie poo. It is tiny. It is lovely. It was like, I thought about getting it for the kids for Christmas, but it popped up. Had to have it. I love it so much. It's like having a newborn baby, but how much do we love that dog?
Oh, every day is a treat.
So much joy into our lives.
What else is happening with you?
You know how?
I've never seen this version of mom mode to you.
Really?
No, because last time I lived with you guys, Zuri was what?
Little.
Tiny. She was like in first grade or something? Yep. Second grade?
Yep.
And things have changed.
Things have changed, you guys. This is what's going on behind the scenes that no one knows. And I'm not going to like go deep into it, but everyone was like, oh, you wait until your kids get older. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I love my kids older. And here is the truth. I love my kids that they're older. I think they're great and lovely and kind and amazing. Here's what I now understand. I don't like older kids. I don't like that my kids are in a pool of like 15, 16-year-olds who think they're hot and expose them to weird shit. And I am now knowing a part of myself that I am scared of.
Yeah.
Like I am like,
well, you can
ruthless.
Remember those times. Like yeah, being I know. That like you're at the age now where you remember that age.
It wasn't that long ago.
No. And so
and
you're
I
like,
think our kids
shit.
Are screwed because we're young. Like it really wasn't that long ago.
No.
She is young parents. Like we're in the know. I think all of her other friends' parents are like, what? Kids are kids. And I'm like, oh no, they're little shits. And let me explain exactly why. I know what's happening now. So this is Zuri is like in junior high, and she really is. There's 15, 16-year-olds. And they all think she's hot and they're trying to impress her and she does this music thing. And I am just in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not with her, with others.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I scare myself. I called Jess, my best friend, and I was like, I didn't know that this was a part of me. I didn't know that, like, I am kind and I hate conflict. And I'm like really nice to my core. Like, it's almost a problem. Like, I'm too nice. I am going in for the jugular. I am pissed. I don't care if I'm crazy. I look like a crazy lady. I don't even care.
You shouldn't.
I don't.
Good.
I'm just scaring myself a little bit.
Well. There's like two wolves in every human. What's that one?
There's a good wolf, bad wolf.
Bad wolf, good wolf. You're feeding the bad wolf.
I am going ham on these little shit kids. There, everyone is afraid to come to my house. Like everyone on Instagram, this is what people say to me. Like, oh, it would be so cool. You guys, your kids are so lucky. You're the coolest parents. They have no idea. Like we are like the strict, scary ass parents.
No,
we really are.
We
just look cool. I don't know how we're. I don't know. Maybe we look cool and it's a big fraud. But we are the strictest parents. Like we don't have like smartphones. They don't have access to like internet, but every other kid does. So they're exposed to it. And so that is my internal struggle. I'm in mom weird mode right now. Weird mom mode. This is new for me.
It was inevitable.
It was inevitable. Caught me by surprise. I thought I had like a year.
Yeah.
That's maybe what it is.
Yeah.
I just thought I had a little bit more time.
I think you guys are doing great. I've gotten to be here scared in the basement, distancing myself because I can hear the wrath of you upstairs. And I just,
I want to so badly tell be, like exactly what happened, but it's not involving my own children. I can't out these other kids that yeah. like, is there liability for that? Like I can't probably.
I don't. Yeah, probably not. I don't know.
Oh, it's nothing with
but
my kids.
I don't want to get in your crosshairs because I'm living in your basement and I just feel like you'd be like, you freeloader or something scary.
I would never. You've been a voice of reason. It's actually been lovely. You're a buffer. Thank you for being here the last 2 weeks.
I'm a good buffer.
Your life is looking up. My life is looking like wobbly. All of a sudden, I'm lacking balance. I feel a little anger in my body. Don't mix. I'm not an angry person. So
yeah.
I'll get through it. Maybe I'll report back next week too.
Ooh.
What should I do in the meantime? Shit, man. I'm going to get back on my routine. That's all I need to do. Just get back on my daily routine.
You got it.
I got it. And then you're going to report back on your, it's called the Kana experience.
We're going to see what Kana does for the new enlightened me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Do I call myself enlightened?
Yeah, every day is just a step towards, yeah, enlightenment.
I've seen some light. I'd like to see more of the light.
Yeah. You just expose yourself a little bit, like peek, like a little peek here and there. Okay, so this week we're talking to Dr. Maureen. Yep. Love this girl. I think you guys are going to love her. We also have a new podcast sponsor. It's Fresh Sends. You guys, especially in Corona season, the time of our lives that is happening right now, Fresh Sends sends flowers, but they're like a modern take on old, like floral arrangements. It's cute, fresh, modern. It's funny. They've thought this through. The reason I found Fresh Sends was a listener sent me Reba. I got to shout her out. She sent me flowers.
Thanks, Reba.
Thanks, Reba. That was the nicest thing ever. And I liked the bouquet so much that I was like, this is the company. Like, this is it. Like, I want to work with them. And then they wanted to, too. So listen for that. Get your loved ones some flowers this week.
I saw just their, like, photo that they sent us. And I was like, shit, yeah.
They're the cutest people. Company. Okay, you want to know something else weird? Guess where they went to high school?
Where?
Rock Canyon, Colorado.
Really?
Isn't that weird? That's where Rory and I went to school for like one of the times we moved.
God. No, I never got to go there. We moved the year I would have started and I was so excited and it was a brand new high school and all my friends were there from Highlands Ranch and wherever. I was pissed.
Rory,
And then we moved and guess what?
What?
I had to spend another year in junior high because that's how they do it in Utah.
Okay, well, I moved to Colorado and I had to go to high school a year early. See the pain and struggle of moving? I hated it. I was not emotionally prepared.
Wow.
There were gangs in the new school. I came from Highland, Utah. It was lovely. And I went to big, scary Denver high school. It was terrifying.
That's right.
Just culture shock for real,
man.
You
want to have a moving episode?
I mean, we moved a lot. That's weird. Mom and dad are going to come on the podcast and I almost don't even want to bring it up because it hurts mom's feelings.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if I have some deep rooted shit with our
Obviously
moving.
You do.
I don't think I do, but I might.
You just said we moved and I didn't get to go to my high school and my life went to shit.
No, I didn't say that. Yeah. That was the only one. That was the only one that I was pissed about because I had to go back into junior high. And I was like, I was just about to be a high schooler. Piss me off.
All right. We'll get into it. We'll report back next week on how maybe I'll be out of my little funk. Update you on the puppy. Rory will update you on his hopefully enlightening experience this weekend.
I'm not going to sugarcoat shit.
Okay.
Everybody can bank on that. I'm going to tell you exactly what.
And for the love of God, I hope you guys get the store done because.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. There is so much to do.
Just so anybody listening to this that goes to that store, my literal blood, sweat, and tears have gone in. I haven't cried there yet, actually.
You guys are but home by midnight.
I have
most
bled.
Nights. Oh, God. But all exciting. Okay, right. Love you.
Oh, wait.
Enjoy this episode.
Wait. Yeah. We should. I don't know how well this works for you.
What?
People should hit up Wes or whatever about a format change. Like, if you want to hear this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys like this?
We're figuring this out with you, and we think this would be more fun. To keep in a present state, you know, always just having the update.
This was a selfish thing for me. I was like, I need to tell people what's going on because they hear the episode and they're like, wow, you're so good. And I'm like, oh, my life right now is a shit show.
That was 6 months ago.
That was 6.5 months ago. I was lovely then. This is crazy. I'm hanging on for dear life.
Sweet. I love this.
All right. Love it too.
All right. I love you.
I love you. Enjoy the episode. Dr. Maureen. Woo. Welcome to another episode of Wake Up with Wesley. I'm your host, Wesley, and you guys are so lucky because today I am sitting here Zooming with the absolutely lovely, like stunningly beautiful Dr. Maureen Rubin.
Aw, thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you.
I'm excited about this one. This one is, I've been like, wait, it's like Saturday was taking a long time to get here this week because I was talking to you. I'm really looking forward to this call.
Me too. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, so Dr. Maureen, that's what I've been calling her. Is that fine to call you Dr. Maureen?
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Okay, she's a psychotherapist, and you specialize in eating disorders, trauma, addiction and recovery, parenting, and relationships. And you're also an author. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you have a book. It's called The Accelerated Habit Method, which is a book on science-based ways to form habits that last.
Yes. And it's available online. And I've made it free because really the point of me trying to be on all these different platforms and having a website and trying to be on Instagram and things like that is to help people create change in their life. And so I try to put as much information that I think is valuable out there so that people have access to it without needing necessarily to, counseling can be expensive at times. And so if you don't have access to it, I want to provide some sort of value and information to make it more accessible to readers. So habit change is one of the things that people most go to counseling for. They have this habit, this pattern of behavior that is separate than who they really are authentically. And this pattern is creating a lot of pain for them and they want to change it. And so that's where this ebook came from. How do we create habits that last, habits that we want to last?
That is beautiful. So it's seriously for free. Right now you can go to your website and download it for free, like an ebook.
Yeah, it's free.
You are amazing. I wish I had this, like access to something like this 6 years ago. That could have changed my life. I was like writing my own notes, scribbled on like coffee pads. Like it was like a joke. I needed a free material six years ago, I swear. So I think I want you to go, first of all, out of all the jobs in the world, why on earth did you choose to be a psychotherapist?
Well, it's interesting. I was between two different career paths in my life. Previous to being a therapist, I was a professional dancer. And that was really where I saw myself going. But, you know, life happens. And I had two passions. One was psychology because it just felt so innate. It felt so natural for me. I remember the feeling of walking into a psych 101 class in college and feeling like I had walked into a world that I had always lived in, but didn't know had a name and didn't know that other people also lived in this world. And I had that same feeling when I was dancing. I felt like I was in the right place, right? I felt like I was home. And so I think what I wanted to do was to be a professional dancer who had an interest in psychology and understanding behavior and understanding myself and understanding others. But it kind of got flipped as the years went on. I became a therapist who has a passion for dancing. And connecting that way. And so I think psychology has helped me in my life, understand myself in a really deep way and has helped me heal from my wounds, from my childhood issues, from my stuck points, my mindset that doesn't really work for me. And I've been able to, because of that work that I've done on myself and continue to do on myself daily, has helped me to help others on that journey as well.
They say that the people who become psychologists or psychotherapists like you, am I saying that right? Psychotherapists?
Yeah.
They say that they almost treat themselves first.
Yes. They say,
is that true for you?
Yeah. They say all research is really me search. If you find yourself particularly curious about some area of life, that's probably because you personally find yourself needing to learn more about that thing. And so for me, I found myself drawn to understanding emotions, understanding behaviors, understanding thoughts and how those drive emotions and how come some people feel one way and other people feel differently. And I wanted to understand humans better. I wanted to understand myself better, the experience of being human. And I love it.
I can relate to that. It's kind of what it just spikes my interest. I feel like when I learn about how and why I feel the way that I do, it empowers me. Instead of just feeling like a victim to my emotional state or my life, when I learn about the why behind, it kind of buoys me up and it gives me more direction. So I can relate to that, even though I'm not a psychotherapist.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think one of the things that is most interesting to me is helping people feel the value of thinking differently. That's what happens in my sessions. I see people incorporate new information and go, oh, I'm thinking about this differently. And the value, the impact that that has on how everything else plays out is, I think it's just amazing.
That is amazing. So can you kind of explain what psychotherapy even is? How does it work? Because there's different types.
Yes.
There's different methods.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different therapeutic modalities. There's people get trained in different types of ways of doing therapy. So there are some therapists who get trained in cognitive behavioral therapy and other therapists who get trained in DBT, which is dialectical behavioral therapy. And some therapists get trained in types of trauma therapy, like cognitive processing therapies and things like that, or EMDR. And so there's all different types of therapeutic modalities and ways of treatment. And really what psychotherapy is a relationship. It's a trust-based relationship between a therapist and a client where the therapist creates an environment where the client feels safe, emotionally safe, feels no judgment coming from the therapist, and feels trusting of the therapist to ask questions and explore how different memories, thoughts, events have contributed to whatever is bringing pain or discomfort to that person in the present moment. And the way that the therapist does that, it could be through CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. It could be through psychoanalysis. It could be through art therapy or narrative therapy. Right, there's all different types of ways of doing it, depending on how that therapist is trained, that then helps a person get unstuck and out of where they're feeling discomfort and into onto a path where they feel more in alignment with where they want to be. And
that makes sense.
That's the process. Now, it only really happens, like I said, it's a trust-based relationship. And so if you're talking with a therapist and you're not feeling able to fully disclose your thoughts and your feelings and your concerns, then I would encourage you to try that or talk to your therapist about why you feel you can't fully put it all out.
Oh, because I'm assuming that's part of your struggle as the therapist is that for the first time, a lot of people are coming to you and they don't know how just to be honest and communicative about the real shit in their life. Like we are so used to keeping everything in that I bet that's half the struggle is getting it out so that then you and them together can kind of sort through the mess or whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Absolutely.
So I like that tip. It's almost like explain to your therapist why it's even hard for you to not talk about it.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, it may be that the therapist isn't a right fit, right? Mm-hmm. It may be that there's something about that therapist that just doesn't feel right. And that's okay. That happens sometimes. That's okay.
Do you feel intuitively when a client is with you, do you know when they're not being 100% with you?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. I love that question. You know, I don't necessarily feel they're not being 100%, but I do try to be attuned to the person I'm speaking with. So try to read their body language, their tone, their facial expressions, and sometimes explore together. Like, is it possible that you may be holding back a little bit, or maybe sensing you're holding back? Does that resonate? Does that feel like what you're doing? And check it out with them. But I don't sit in the chair feeling like, oh, they're not telling me the truth. You know, yeah. I more kind of use that as, I use that feeling like, oh, I think they might be holding back. I use that feeling as part of the dynamics that we get to explore. And I bring it up. I use that feeling and bring it up and say, you know, how comfortable are you feeling talking to me? Is this something that you do? I feel you might be holding back. Is that something that happens in relationship for you? And that's really the work. The work with a therapist is, for some people, the first time that you experience emotional safety and security with another person, is like securely attached to another person, where you get to be yourself, all of it, and know that you're still deeply cared for and you matter.
Oh my gosh, it really is a relationship. You enter into a relationship with these people. I can see that now. I've always talked to people who are in therapy about their experience. I have never talked to the therapist. It's almost like, not that you're forgotten, but you are the fundamental other part. Like, you're having an experience right along with them.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. And I want to say, I think it's a privilege to have access to people's stories and the parts that they hold back, or the fearful parts or the insecure parts, to be able to work with someone and have them trust you enough to witness and be present with all the parts that maybe they hide or have disowned or are ashamed of. It's a heavy responsibility, right?
So heavy.
Yes, there is the burden of that responsibility, the burden of the trust that is placed on that relationship. And then also, it's a privilege to be able to see all of people and let them know it's okay, that we all have those human parts.
I think it's like a beautiful little pairing for you. Do you ever know? Okay, here's another question for you. Do you know when it's not a good fit? Will you tell the person, or do you have to let them come to you?
Yes. That's interesting. So sometimes I will say, because I am first human, right? They're second. I will sometimes feel that perhaps I'm not the right fit. Perhaps we haven't been making very much progress. And that this doesn't happen often, but it does happen where I feel, oh, we're maybe not making too much progress. I wonder if we either need to try another approach, or I wonder if we need to try another therapist or another, a higher level of care, right? So maybe just one-on-one, once a week isn't enough. Maybe this person needs like more intensive treatment, like 3 times a week, or a treatment center or something like that, which I'm very familiar with the treatment world, because I have opened treatment centers, run treatment centers, I've been the clinical director for many, many years in a couple different treatment centers. And so I'm very familiar with that treatment world. And sometimes people need that. It's just the 1 hour a week isn't enough to make real sustainable change.
I remember, so I was in the thick of it like 6 years ago, so like rock bottom. And I remember feeling like, man, I wasn't struggling with substance abuse, no addiction, but in my mind, I was like, I really need to go to rehab. Like mental rehab. Like I needed like 30 days to go away, not have any responsibility, but just sit with my shit, because I'm a mom and my husband has a business and I have a house to run and groceries to buy. And it I didn't feel like life allowed me time to process, because it's kind of like when you kind of tap into what's really going on with you, you open up a can of worms and then the worms come out, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're stuck with them and you're like, oh shit.
Yes.
Like now I got to process what, and life doesn't really create that safe landing spot to do that. Mm-hmm. And it felt a lot like getting way worse before it got better, but it was such a necessary part of the process for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you're talking about is something that we may all be guilty of, where we sometimes suppress our emotions in order to function, right? Because we tend to engage with life. If we have a difficult phone call or a stressful day or too much on our plate or financial stress or just daily stressors, really, we tend to feel those things. And so some people have in the habit of, and we all do this from time to time, but suppress their emotions just to function. And then eventually that catches up with you, right? All of that suppressing catches up with you. And then there's what feels like a crash and burn. Like I need a break. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It happens. I'm proof. That totally happened to me. I'm actually so grateful for the breakdown. I had a full-on breakdown, but it was actually the springboard into stepping into who I actually am. I can recognize it so easily now that it was such a necessary thing.
Yes.
But in the moment you're like, oh my gosh, I'll never be a functioning human again.
Yeah.
Like I can't function.
Well, the old ways of functioning broke down so that you'd had to learn new ways of functioning, healthier ways of functioning. It sounds like you went through a process of breakdown, breakthrough, break free, which is not the process.
Oh, I kind of love that. I've never heard that process because I do feel freedom at this point in my life, completely free.
Yeah.
Where I'm not associated to the trauma or the pain or the suffering. It's actually very interesting to look back and be like, whoa,
yeah,
that happened. That actually happened.
Yeah. It sounds like the old ways of you coping and functioning that had it worked for a certain period of time until it didn't. And then once it didn't, you had to go through a transformation and learn about other ways of doing it. And then through that process, you've emerged a new you that processes different things differently or processes things differently.
Totally
differently. Yeah. I think it's part of the human process to grow, right? This is how we grow. We grow through inspiration or desperation, but growth only happens in those two extremes where we're either desperate, rock bottom, in so much pain, or we're so inspired by something. You know, those are the areas where people tend to have accelerated growth, like post-traumatic growth.
All right, guys, I'm going to stop you all right here to talk about my very favorite line of CBD called Ned. So I know that CBD has become extremely popular in the last year or so, which is great, but it also makes it more difficult for us regular people to navigate and choose the right company and the right products. But this is where Ned comes in. So Ned produces the highest quality full spectrum CBD extracted from organically grown hemp plants, and it's all sourced from an independent farmer in Colorado. The most common question I get when I open up about using CBD is, does it get you high? And I laugh at that now because I'm like, of course not. But really, I remember back like 4 years ago when I started hearing about CBD, I thought the same thing too. Like, I didn't want to take it. I didn't want to get high. That scares me. But Ned is a full spectrum hemp oil. It only contains two ingredients. So it's the full spectrum hemp extract and non-GMO organic MTC oil. That's it. That is it. So there are very trace amounts of THC. It's less than 0.3%. So this is totally allowed by law. It's legal everywhere. And this level of THC, it's what makes Ned full spectrum hemp. And it is totally non-psychotropic, meaning that there is no high at all. So you get this sense of calm. It's not like energy, but it is a calmness that I feel for sure. I know when I miss my drops for a day. So if you're a mom like me looking for a little chill zen in your life, then you got to try Ned out for yourself. So you can check it out at helloned.com/Wesley, or you can enter Wesley at checkout for 15% off of your first order, plus you get free shipping. So that's helloned.com/Wesley, and you get 15% off of your very first order plus free shipping. So give it a try, you guys. And thank you to Ned. Now let's get back to the show. Oh my gosh, I've never heard it that way. That's so true because, okay, so now that happened to me. Now I'm in this space where I think this is probably what your book is about. I've made the habit to consciously choose to learn through love, mm-hmm. joy, adventure, positivity. Like now I actively, consciously choose to kind of keep my life in that box because I realized that you're going to grow either way. And I was choosing for so long the struggle, right? Addicted to the struggle way, the shit way, the hard way. And now I really, it is a daily choice to do the things that I love. And I do feel like I'm growing. I've never heard this validated to me by someone who actually knows what they're talking about.
Oh,
I just thought it was me. I just thought that I was like, okay, I'm going to not do that. And I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm so glad that you feel validated by that.
Let's actually talk about the brain because you know a whole lot about how our brains are designed.
Yes.
You have this on your Instagram, like a computer, and how our brains are literally process trauma differently. There's parts of our brain that shut off, turn on.
Yeah.
That to me is so interesting. Mm. So can you talk a little bit about
sure.
the physiological effects of trauma in our brain?
Yeah, absolutely. So our brain hasn't really gotten a software update. Our brain is very, very, very old software or hardware. I'm not really sure, but one of the two. Okay. It's really old. And the way that it works is there's different parts of the brain that are responsible for different things. And I'm going to give like the simplified version.
But please, let's go as dumb this down for us.
You need to understand stuff, right? Stuff that you can gain, stuff that makes sense. So there's a part of there's two parts of the brain that's important to understand when it comes for trauma. There's the prefrontal cortex that's in the front of the brain. And then there's a part of the brain called the amygdala. The amygdala is the size of two almonds put together, okay? It's teeny tiny. And the amygdala has five functions. It's got like five automatic buttons. And what it does is it is the threat detector of the brain. So let's say I'm walking down the street, I'm going for my morning walk, and a car comes out of nowhere and almost hits me, right? My amygdala then sounds an alarm. Now, it's not like a real alarm, but the amygdala sounds an alarm that when it sounds the alarm, what it does is it cuts off access to my prefrontal cortex, which is where I do my thinking. It's where I do my rationalizing, my thinking. It's where I make decisions. It's where my executive functioning lives right here. The amygdala cuts off access to my thinking part, because I don't need to be thinking in a situation like this. I don't need to be analyzing, well, how fast is the car going? Should I move out of the way? Am I safe here? I don't need to be thinking. I need to be reacting. And that's what the amygdala is for. And so what happens is the amygdala immediately senses I'm in danger, right? And it uses all the nerve endings in my body, and my brain's constantly scanning my environment, whether I'm aware of it or not. And so it's constantly scanning and it detects danger and I feel it and I react, right? And I get out of the way. I can thank my amygdala for that. It's instinct, right? I moved out of the way. Now, what I did was one of five reactions that you probably have heard of. Most people have. It's fight, flight, freeze, fawn, or friend, or feign. And so
I don't know the last two. I've never heard the last two.
Yeah. So or flop. Sorry. I said that wrong. It's flop. One is flop. So
you flop or friend? I do not know this.
Okay. So let me say it again. So the amygdala has five functions. Okay. It's fight, flight, freeze, friend, or flop. Okay. Mm-hmm. So basically this is how quickly the brain comes up with what to do. This is how quickly the brain reacts. So if I'm in a situation where I'm bigger and stronger, and these calculations happen really quick. If I'm bigger and stronger, I then want to fight. Okay. If I feel like I can win, I'm probably going to fight. If I feel like I can't win, I'm not bigger, I'm not stronger, then I'm probably going to run. I'm going to feel the instinct to get out of the way, to run, right? To leave the situation. if, or I might freeze. Let's say my brain decides, okay, you can't run. There's nowhere to go. And the best thing to do is just not move, not make it worse, but not, you have nowhere to go. So just freeze, right? That's what's going to ensure your survival. My brain decides what ensures my survival, not me. And so sometimes victims of sexual assault oftentimes will have a freeze response, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of the common traumas that happens, especially for women, although it happens to people of all genders, where, you know, you're in a situation where you're feeling uncomfortable or a boundary is being violated and you don't choose which response you want to do. Your brain just decides for you, the best thing to do is freeze. And oftentimes later, people have a lot of guilt. I should have thought, I should have said something. I should have done this. I should have done that. But what they don't understand is they didn't choose how they reacted. It's not your choice. You are not, remember, you don't have access to your prefrontal cortex. You're not weighing out the options. It's cut off. You're doing the thing that will ensure your survival. And if you're talking about it the next day, you survived. So your brain did its job, not without damage. Okay. There was emotional damage. There was physical damage. There was trauma that occurred. But did your brain continue your survival? Technically, yes. Your brain
did its job.
It did its job, right?
It's not
perfect, but it did do its job. So that's the freeze response. Fawn or friend, you might have heard it different ways. Fawn or friend is a trauma reaction where people then feel like I'm not bigger or stronger or faster, and it's not a matter of being stuck. I'm going to survive the situation by getting this scary thing to like me.
I'm losing my mind. This has happened to me.
Yes. So if we feel we might be in danger, we might try to be really nice, really nice to the thing, to the person or the thing that we're afraid of, thinking that if they like me, they'll probably...
It's less dangerous.
Yeah, they won't hurt me as much.
I have to tell you a story. I have to tell listeners a story. I did not know that this was a part of like a trauma response.
Yes.
Because I have specifically done this, and it was recently. We were on a boat with people, and there was a man there, mm-hmm. and he was getting a little bit drunk. He was big. Yeah. He was getting angry. Yeah. And it just was like, oh, I just felt a deep fear. And the meaner and more aggressive he got, the more I like catered to him and was nice to him. I like joked with him. Yeah. I was so physically, emotionally uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I buddied with this man. And afterwards I was like, what the fuck was that? Yeah. Like, what the actual fuck was that? And I didn't know I was in a trauma response. I was being so nice to him.
You were fawning. You were uncomfortable. You were anxious and you were fawning. You thought, if he likes me, he won't hurt me.
Yes.
And that's one way that we try to survive. Children, a lot of times, do this. So if you grew up in a home where you may have had emotional neglect or emotional abuse, or you felt like your caretaker struggled with addiction or was inconsistent. You couldn't predict what was going to happen. There was some sort of instability that you sensed. Sometimes children will develop a fawning response, like, I'm the good kid. I'm the favorite kid. I'm the one that does everything that mom and dad tell me to do, so that they don't yell at me, hurt me, punish me. That's a fawn response. I don't feel safe, but my brain protects me by trying to please them so that I won't get hurt. And if they like me, they won't hurt me or abandon me or leave me or whatever me, right?
My mind is a little bit blown. I had no idea.
Yeah. So oftentimes, what happens is people who grow up with like a people who grow up with a tendency to lean towards fawning, like fawning worked for me as a kid, and so it's probably what I do as an adult. Sometimes that then looks like what we call codependency. in relationships, where we focus on what does the other person need? What will make the other person like me more? What will stabilize or help or fix this other person so that they won't hurt me anymore?
Yeah. You cater to the other person so they don't explode.
Sometimes, yeah. So that's a fawning response. And then the last response is flop. And flop is basically playing dead. It's pretending you're asleep. It's playing dead. It's pretending that, you know, sometimes little kids will do this. Well, they pretend like they don't hear you. Okay. So that's a flop response. And remember, you don't get to choose, right? Because you're not thinking, oh, I'm going to choose to do this. You're just reacting, and you're reacting to try to survive. That's the job of those two little almonds in your head. That's that software in place. If there's a, you know, and think back to, you know, just how nature works, right? If there's a rustling in the bush, right, I don't need my brain to go, oh, I wonder what that is. I need my brain to react quick. And it's better safe than sorry. So even if it was something harmless, like maybe a bunny, right, my brain is wired to think better safe than sorry, better survive than regret.
Okay, that is so, because I feel like just understanding that, I've heard of flight, fight, and freeze, but just understanding the psychology behind why our brains do the things that they do, it allows me now, like just talking with you just right now, now I can look at myself and understand that, okay, I was triggered there, and then it makes me go back to where I was as a child and not be like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, oh, I understand. I'm not ashamed of my response in that situation anymore. Like, I don't think I'm weird. Now I get it.
Yes.
And I almost kind of feel bad. I was like, oh, sad. Something in me was like truly freaked out.
And this moment that you're having now is one of my favorite moments, because this is where that insight, where new information comes in and you're allowed, it gives you permission to experience your past self with more compassion.
Yeah.
And it helps you understand that it's not you. There's nothing wrong with you. There's this thing that you've been faulting yourself for. You get to let that go. And the value of thinking differently, this is what changes people's lives when they feel the value of it, thinking differently. And that's what therapy is. Therapy, a therapist in essence is a thinking partner, someone who partners with you and goes, hey, let's think this through together.
Okay, I'm so into you. I like you. I'm like, let's go. What else can you teach me right now? Okay, I would love it so much if you could talk about specifically, I mean, I'm a mom, so I'm into it. A lot of my listeners are mothers too, or parents. But you talk a lot about, and I actually feel like I'm good at this with my kids, like acknowledging my children's emotional worlds.
Yeah.
But after listening to just a few of the things you've talked about, it's kind of reignited that kind of just intuitive desire that I felt like this is important. I should probably address things, but you really emphasize.
Yeah.
Validate our children's emotions and name them and help them process it. So could you talk a little bit about parenting and children and all of our emotional worlds?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. This is a good thing to talk.
I'm like, talk about it in 2.5 minutes. No, you have a while. Yeah. I just throw it on you.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Okay, so the emotional world. So part of parenting is protecting your kid, teaching them about the world, right? Teaching them about, you know, these are dangerous situations. These are safe situations. This is how you communicate. This is how you handle different life events, right? This is how you walk. This is how you talk. This is what we believe, right? Parenting is a lot about teaching your kid, who's like a sponge, right, about the world. They first see it through what you show them. But a big part of parenting, which is slowly, because of therapists like me and what we're passionate about, it's slowly becoming more understood that there is an emotional world that is very, very important to develop. And part of the reason it's so important is because if you, what's the simplest way I could put it? If you don't know how you're feeling about things, then you have a hard time making decisions that are in alignment with what you feel is based on who you are, right? So if you don't know what you're feeling, then you don't know how to make decisions that are based on that. And you don't know how to trust yourself because you're making wrong decisions because you don't have access to what you're feeling. So validating kids does a lot of really important things. One, we all have feelings. That's what makes us human. Okay. So if I have a bad day at school, I'm going to be engaging. I'm going to be feeling what is happening in my world. It's my parents' job essentially to say, to notice, to see that I have an emotional reaction to something and to say to me, hey, what's going on? You're not looking quite right. You're not looking like yourself, or what's going on with school? And help me put words to my experience, right? Saying stuff like, you seem mad. Are you angry? Or, oh, honey, you look so sad. What's making you sad? I can tell because you're crying, right? And helping them put words to what they're feeling. That's the first step. The second step is giving them permission to feel, because you either allow the kid to feel connected to who they are and what they're feeling, or you ask them to pretend. Yeah. Those are the only two options. You can't ask a kid, you can't ask a human, don't feel anymore, right? The way you're—
Stop crying.
Stop crying.
Don't whine.
Don't whine. The way that you're feeling is wrong. It's invalid, because you can't turn off feelings. You can only numb them and self-medicate them. But you can't turn them off, right? So if I'm stressed out, I have two options. I either learn how to cope with stress in a healthy way, or I learn to pretend that I'm not stressed out. And then I have to self-medicate, self-numb, or get the stress out in an unhealthy way, right? Or pretend like it's not there and crash and burn.
Right? Shit, I pretended my whole life. I pretended.
Yes, yes. And so, really, addiction and eating disorders, they're disorders of communication. They're disorders of feeling safe enough to talk about what they're feeling, right? Or what a person is feeling. And that's what therapy is. When people go to counseling for addiction or eating disorders, what we do in therapy is we teach them to label their emotions and to talk about their emotions and to have an empathetic, understanding, listening ear, validate what their experience is. And only then can we help them decide what they want to do with what they're feeling.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So this is a real life example. So this is like not a fight, but like a very real thing that happens all the time with me and my husband. So my little boy, Ozzy, he's the youngest. But if any of my kids get hurt,
yeah,
it is ingrained in me. I cannot help it. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Let's talk about it. I snuggle them. I hold them. And my husband is like, you are so crazy. Like, you are over the top. You're going to make them sissies. Like, he's a boy. Let him fall skateboarding. Brush it off. He's chill. And I can't do it. I cannot not do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't care who's right or who's wrong, but I kind of think it's that I want to acknowledge that something happened. They got hurt.
Yes.
Do they want to talk about it? I invite them. If they don't want to talk about it, if they don't want to hug, that's fine.
Yes. Yes.
But I have to say, you just got hurt. That matters to me. Are you okay?
Yes. Yes.
So is that a good— am I right here? I actually want to know that I'm right here. I said I didn't. I actually want to bring this to Bronson and be like, I told you. I told you. Hold up right here. I have to interrupt you to talk about Fresh Sends. So Fresh Sends is setting out to freshen up the cookie cutter floral industry. And let me tell you, they are changing the game. You guys, I really mean this. So I found out about Fresh Sends when I surprisingly opened up the door one morning, like 4 weeks ago, and I received this beautiful box. And I was like, what is in this? It said Fresh Sends. I didn't know what it was. I opened it up, and honest to God, the most beautiful flower bouquet I've ever seen in the most beautiful box was staring right back at me. And I was like, what? Like, it was shocking. First off, because I don't think I ever get flowers, like ever. Indy sent me flowers once and I cried. But secondly, it's not like the old run-of-the-mill flowers that get delivered to you like we're used to. Like, these aren't in a vase. They're not cheesy. These ones are beautiful. They look, it's like they're gorgeous. They're wrapped in this beautiful newspaper, which also, you guys, don't throw away the newspaper, because it has these beautiful, like, heartfelt messages on them and a crossword puzzle, like, designed specifically to your bouquet. And the newspaper part of it is half of the gold. I'm not kidding you when you're getting a Fresh Lens. The other best part is the cards. You guys, the cards. They're just... The whole vibe is modern. It's my style. It's stuff I actually say to my friends or my family or my loved ones. So Fresh Sends offers curated bouquets of fresh seasonal blooms that are designed to look like they were just picked up at your local flower market. They deliver throughout the continental United States. No city is too big. No town is too small. They make sure to get you your Fresh Sends to wherever you want to send them to in the lower 48 states. They offer next day shipping nationwide. And you get to add your own personal message to any bouquet you send, which they handwrite for you. So it's so personal. The whole thing is like lovely. So they have these custom cards that you get to pick through. And they're just, like I said, they're cute. They're current. They're well designed. They have options for birthdays. Like these are just a few of my favorites. Like they, for birthdays, they have one that says, "Hey, birthday girl." So cute. So they have ones that say, "I'm so glad you were born." Or for Mother's Day, "Hey, you're a badass mom." Or "Got it from my mama." They have ones for friendships that are like, "Go best friend, that's my best friend." And then for anniversary, they have one that says, "Let's make out." Like, that's the card I want to send Bronson. I don't want some cheesy thing. I want to be like, "Hey, let's make out." So if you'd like to send someone some encouragement, or maybe because of our crazy world right now, you can't make it home due to COVID-19 restrictions. Maybe you can't make it to your best friend's wedding. This is a thoughtful and fresh take on showing someone that you love or care about that you're thinking of them. You can go to freshsends.com and enter code Wesley at checkout for 15% off your first arrangement. So just send it, you guys. Send someone you love flowers and make their day. Again, if you're interested, go to freshsends.com to get 15% off your first send. And that's freshsends.com. Now, let's get back to the show.
Okay, I will say this. Okay, I'll say this. So kids don't trust emotional parents. So if
you, oh shit, I'm wrong.
if you're easily frightened or you're frightening, okay, then your kid is going to withhold their emotions to not overwhelm you, to not turn you into a frightened mommy or a frightening mommy. Okay. Oh. So kids don't trust emotional parents biologically, right? But what you're doing is right in the sense that you want to acknowledge it. So if your son falls, right, and you've got an eye on him and you see him, you ask him, "You okay?" Right? You're calm. You say, "Are you okay?" And if he's crying, then you say, "Yes, honey, I know. Mommy knows that that hurts. Yes, it hurts when we fall. It's okay to cry when we fall. It's okay because it hurts," right? And then you comfort. But you want to watch and match and mirror your kid's reaction, right? Mm. And so if he doesn't fall, let me back up a little bit. So the first option of going like, "Oh my God, are you okay?" You've turned into the frightened parent. What happens later on in life is the kids then may think, "Oh, I don't want to tell mom. I don't want her to worry."
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. So what you want to do is you want to stay calm. You want to stay secure. You want to stay like, "Okay, I've got you. I'm here to protect you. It's okay." You know, but what you don't want to do is panic or say, you know, "Walk it off." Right. Right.
Yep.
Walk it off. You know, boys don't cry. Walk it off. Get up. Walk it off. That's also very damaging.
It's a spectrum. There's like, he is on one end. I'm on the other. And I think that there is a middle line that we could meet at.
Yes, there is a response that will feel safe and understanding and appropriate to match the kid's emotional reaction. Right.
Because I think that's a lot of parents' biggest fear. I think that we want our children to feel comfortable coming to us about anything and everything.
Yes.
And kids don't like to do that with their parents. They don't feel safe a lot of the time. They don't want to upset them. They don't want to worry them.
Yes.
And I can see how my emotional response is like, "Oh my gosh, don't freak mom out. We'll just fly this one under the radar."
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So what I do in situations like that is stay calm. And remember not to be frightening, meaning yelling, angry or whatever, not frightening and not frightened, right? Just stay calm and say, "Hey, mommy sees you. Are you okay? Do you need comfort?" You know? And if the kid cries, then you validate, You say, of course you're crying. Of course you're crying. You just hurt yourself. I get it. Oh, when I feel like crying when I hurt myself too. That's okay. Here's what we do. We're going to put a Band-Aid on it. We're going to take the day off. We're going to have an easy day. And you teach your kid what to do with this boo-boo, emotional and physical, so that they can go on to thrive. So that it's not like, I don't know what to do in the situation. I ignored it, right? Growing up, or I hid it, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Holy, I'm having so many aha moments with you. Cause I was like, I know I'm right. I know I'm like stubborn in my rightness.
Sorry.
And I'm like, okay, I can see this. I'm not offended. I can take it. I'm good.
I think you did some stuff right. I will say that. And by the way, I don't really like the right and wrong thing, because it assumes that there's one right or wrong way to do
it. It assumes there's a bad way, good way and a bad way.
Yeah. And really there's just, there's effective ways, there's healthy ways, and there's maladaptive ways, unhealthy ways, ways that are not sustainable for the long term, or we now know have consequences later on in life. It may be effective in that moment, but later on, there's a cost to pay for learning to do things that way. So it's not really right or wrong.
So it just is, it's important to validate our kids' emotions. If they're feeling nervous, just acknowledge, I understand you're nervous. If they're scared, if they watched a scary movie, it's just, sometimes I think we as parents are just like, get over it. Or like, what are you doing? It's just a lot, because it's 24/7 and we're human.
Yes.
We're not always ready to deal with their shit because we're dealing with our own. And
yes, one of my favorite examples is there was I was working with a mom, and she had a young kid. This was years ago, and she said to me, "You know, on a good day, you know, doctor, I can do the thing, you know. But when I come home from work and I'm stressed out, and my 2-year-old or 3-year-old goes, 'Mommy,' and sobbing hysterically, 'Mommy, my cookie broke,' all I want to do is say, 'Just take another cookie.' I don't really have the energy to say, 'Oh, honey, I know your cookie broke in half and that makes you sad. Come here,' right? We don't always have the energy for that, which is why I like to say that you don't have to do it 100% of the time. It just has to be good enough. It has to be enough of the time where the kid then has that need met enough. Not every time, just enough of the time. And when you invest emotionally in your kid enough of the time, then they're able to do it for themselves. And they're able to ask other people to do it with them. So it's not just on the parents.
That feels good to know. You just saying just enough of the time. That actually really does feel good. Parenting is scary as hell, man. But I just have to be good enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
Enough. Enough.
Enough.
Yeah. And, you know, the last thing parents need is someone telling them, you know, parents are already so scared of messing up their kids, right? The last thing you need is someone saying, you're doing it wrong. You shouldn't do that. You know, I think loving parents, they can make some minor tweaks to the way that they interact with their kid, and that will help their kid develop more self-confidence, higher self-esteem, more trust in self. And if that's what you're looking for, then if that's what you're looking for your kid to develop within themselves, then emotional validation, emotionally intelligent parenting is the way to go.
Do you find that, obviously there's patient confidentiality, obviously all that, but do you find that when you sit with someone and they start to unravel this, their lives, is that one of the main things that come up, is that they weren't emotionally validated as children? Is that kind of like a lot of the root causes of a lot of this stuff?
It's interesting, because what you're talking about, I would say yes, what you're talking about is emotional neglect. When my feelings are not validated, what that means is I'm not seen or understood, right? And that's part of what emotional neglect is. It's hard to know whether or not you've been emotionally neglected, because it's the thing that didn't happen, right? Mm. Abuse is the thing that happened to you. Most people can say, yes, that was abuse. It happened to me. Neglect is the thing that never happened, that maybe growing up, you didn't even know was supposed to happen. But as an adult, you have all these signs and symptoms. You have mental health issues. You have anxiety. You do self-sabotaging behaviors. You don't trust yourself. You have difficulty making decisions. Maybe you have low self-esteem, right? And so it's really difficult to understand that there was things that didn't happen that affected in your past that affects you today. It's kind of like I have this plant here in my home office. And the plant doesn't know that I'm supposed to water it. And it doesn't know that I'm supposed to give it the right sunlight, right? That's my responsibility. I'm caretaking this plant. But so it doesn't know, but it knows how good it feels when I do give it water. It knows how much it thrives. It knows how good it feels when I put it in the right amount of sunlight. It knows it reacts to it. And it also knows when I don't water it, when I forget to water it, right? The leaves shrivel up. And the difference between the plant and the kids is the kids will blame themselves when they grow up to become adults. They'll say, oh, my leaves are not as shiny as other people's leaves. And I feel bad about myself and I have anxiety. What's wrong with me? And it's hard to say, it's hard to understand that this isn't your fault. You just didn't get the right watering. Oh. It didn't happen. You didn't know that it was supposed to happen. It was. And that's not your fault.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's like, it's a powerful process. I've never done therapy.
Oh, really?
It's never.
Interesting because you seem to me, I mean, you're obviously very self-reflective and you've done work on yourself and maybe everyone you talk to is a teacher. There's lots of different ways to heal and grow. Therapy isn't the only one, but you seem like someone who is very self-aware, has done a lot of work on herself.
Well, I did. It was because I was dirt poor. That's why I appreciate you putting out the book for free. I'm telling you, I really could have utilized that back in the day. I was just, like I said, on post-it notes, trying to figure out my own brain. But yeah, it is. It's so interesting to me. And it just feels, it's like a pass. I think when you really go inward and you can forgive yourself, forgive the other people in your life, that we're all just doing our best.
Yes.
And we didn't know at the time, but now we know. Yeah. It's just that healing hug. Like it's kind of stepping into adulthood, maturity.
Yeah.
Like, let's just understand it, move forward, and then implement new tools for when these triggers come up. Because I think they continue, right? Like they just don't stop. Yep. I kind of thought like, I'm good now. Uh-huh. I'm good. I did the work. Uh-huh. And I'm like, fuck, they're still happening.
Well, there's always work to be done.
Always work to be done.
Yeah. Always work to be done.
Okay. Okay. I have another, you said something that was pretty profound when I heard it on your Instagram. You said, if you are hysterical, then recognize that it is probably historical.
Yeah.
I'm taking that next and buying it and just keeping it for forever because that was profound. If you're acting hysterical, it's probably historical.
Yeah. Yeah. It requires a certain amount of self-reflection and self-awareness to be able to go, I think I'm overreacting. Now, whatever reaction you're having, it's valid. It's appropriate. That's real for you. It's not that it's not real. It is real. But if I'm having this overwhelming reaction to something that the emotion that I feel is not appropriate to the event that happened, then that is kind of a little psychology hack for you to think, where is this coming from? What is the situation reminding me of?
It's like an indication, like a signal for your brain to be like, yo, check your inner self right now.
Yes, absolutely. Check your inner self. There's something that this is connected to something that you need to work through. You need to, you know, it's triggering you to work through something.
Yeah. A signal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know you have to leave soon, but I had one, I gotta know. So, cause you deal with relationships a lot.
Yes. A lot.
What is the number one relationship killer that you have seen in your years of practice? Oh. Is there one?
That's a really good question. Gosh, there's so many things that people do in a relationship unknowingly that weaken the relationship. And then they look at that relationship and go, I don't trust this relationship. even though they have done things to weaken the relationship unknowingly. I would say that one of the things that couples need to know is the importance of connection, and that what a relationship really is, the dynamic back and forth between two people, is really about bids for connection. It's, I want to connect with my partner. So even though I might ask my partner, hey, do you want to have coffee with me today? Right? Do you want to have a cup of coffee with me? It's not really about the coffee. What I'm doing is I'm making a bid for connection. I'm saying, I want to connect with you. And how your partner responds to you will determine whether you stay together and feel happy, whether or not you break up, or whether or not you stay together but you're not happy with each other. How you interact with each other is the most important thing. So if my partner says to me, hell yeah, I want to have coffee with you, and is positive towards my bid, then I'm going to feel really satisfied in that relationship. But if my partner says to me, eh, maybe later, right? That's kind of like a dismissive remark towards my bid. I might feel not so connected to my partner. Or if my partner says, I hate coffee, right? That's a very negative response to my bid, right? And so relationships are about connection, right? And the satisfaction that I feel in any relationship is about how connected I feel within that relationship. And my partner is critical for me to feel connected. And so one thing that I always try to help their couples understand is look at how you react to your partner's bid for connection. It could be something small like, hey, babe, look at that car, right? How you respond to that's, you know, your partner may really want you to look at that car, but what it is, it's also an opportunity for connection. It's two of you share a moment looking at this car. And if you respond positively, you're going to have a positive relationship. If you respond with, eh, or ew, that's an ugly car, then that then weakens the connection in the relationship. And it's not that the relationship is bad necessarily. It's that we have created an environment where this relationship doesn't feel very connected. And then what happens is people seek connection elsewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny that it really is those little things, because I've heard so many women say, there's nothing wrong with him. He's not doing anything bad, but they lack it. It's those tiny moments where you feel denied a little bit of not even like a sexual, it's not even romantic. It's just connection, like what you're saying.
Yes,
I totally see that. It comes down to the little things.
Yes, it's intimacy and connection, because really life is a bunch of little things.
Really, is.
Most of the time. And to, you know, a partnership is where we say, I'm going to share my life with you. I'm going to share the things that happen every day. I want to go through life with you. And within that, there's lots of opportunities for connection. So learning to recognize it, learning to see it for what it is, and then learning how to choose to respond to it. And really what it is intimacy. Relationships that are deeply satisfying and long-lasting are the ones where people feel so connected to each other, so intimate with one another. And yeah.
I love it. Dr. Maureen, I am obsessed with you. I feel like I learned so much. I might actually want to do therapy with you for real. Like, what's your process? Where do you live? Are you only in person?
No. So pre-COVID, I have an office in Calabasas and I did therapy in person. Mm-hmm. But now COVID, you know, due to COVID, I'm fully virtual. So, I have a virtual office, and, you know, most people can book a free consultation. I offer a 15-minute, very brief, but meaningful, very brief but meaningful consultation to help people decide if I can help them or if I'm the right person. And sometimes
speed date.
Yeah.
You got to make sure that connection's there.
Absolutely. And people mostly go to my website and they reach out to me that way so that they can book that free consultation. And yeah.
What's your website? Because I know that there's going to be listeners who are like, she's the one. She's it.
Okay. It's www.maureenrubin.com. MaureenRubin.com.
All right. And then you have I love your Instagram too.
Yes,
that's just how I love that fast information. It's so easy, so simple, and you're so informative on Instagram. Awesome. So what is your Instagram?
It's the little at thingy at Dr. Maureen Rubin.
All right, Maureen, mm-hmm. You are so lovely. I appreciate you, how are you? So much. This is your first podcast. You blew it out of the water. You're so amazing at this.
Thank you so much. This was really fun.
It is fun. I had fun too. I'm glad you had fun. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Go find Dr. Maureen on her Instagram and her website. And we're appreciative to you, like I said. See you next week, guys. Bye.